To you, Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. Good to see you in the Lord's house today. And again, I'll just say a little bit, at the end of the service here, regarding our 65th anniversary as we get more toward the end of the service. But let me just share with you today. I appreciate all that went into it. And last Sunday, we had the privilege to have Bronson and Debbie Clemens with us here in the services, and it was always a privilege to be able to have them, to see them, good friends for many, many years, and so I enjoyed the message and all that went into last weekend. But when he was here, Bronson preached a message from the book of Acts, and he asked the congregation to turn to Acts chapter 29. I won't ask you to do that again today, but I knew right away when he said that, I thought, okay, he's tricking them into something. I knew that because I knew there was only 28 chapters in the book of Acts. So, I thought about a lot of what he said and the message that he gave. And it was a great message and just a great day in general all the way around. But when I think about Acts 29, that's the future. You know, it's great to have anniversaries. It's great to have celebrations. But it's great to look back, and by the way, this week, I think on Tuesday, if you want to see any more of the decades that are on display, you might want to do that today because they're all coming down or they're starting to come down on Tuesday and will be filed back in the church archives. And again, I appreciate Tammy Phillips and Rosalind Tomasi and doing a lot of the hard work and the lifting on that out there. And so I don't know about you, but I learned a lot of new things that I didn't know as they dug deep and pulled things out from the history of our church. So not only is it important to have the history of our church and to look back, but I think it's also just important to look forward. And that's what I want to begin to do today. So when you think about Bronson's message last week on Acts 29, it's all about looking forward. It's about the future. And when I think about the future, I think the future looks bright. I think the future looks great. And I realize the world that we live in is an evil and dark and treacherous world, and it seems like it's waxing worse and worse all along. But for me, the way I look at that, it gives a great opportunity for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine brighter now than it's ever shone before. It's a great opportunity for us to plant the seed more than we ever have before. So don't be discouraged if you get, if you listen to all the news cycles and all the news feeds and everything. I don't care where you get your news source from. A lot of it is so very negative and so very much evil and corrupt and what's going on in our world today. And sometimes maybe you just got to shut that off and turn that off and focus on something else for a little bit. And that, because if you listen to what the world has to offer, it can drag you down. And so what we want to look forward to is going forward, because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hope is in Him. And it could very well be that this generation, our generation that we're living in right now, will be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes back. I don't know about you, but I think that'd be a great way to end it all, is for the Lord to come back, take us home to be with Him in the rapture, and we don't have to go through this doorway called death and that which is so difficult. But so today, what I want to preach a message today that I want to start it out today by just sharing some thoughts with you that in preparation for our anniversary weekend. 65th, we begin to think about, what is the future? What are some things we want to focus on going forward? Because we knew the anniversary would soon come to a close, and then we move forward to the future. And so in our staff meetings and in the deacons' meetings, we took some time and we brainstormed some thoughts that we were kind of trying to focus, and we narrowed it down to 7 thoughts that we want to, I don't know if you call this a 5-year plan. We're not going to have a big blowout anniversary celebration every year. We talked about not doing it every year, but we'll do something next year, but it won't be like we did for the 65th. And but believe it or not, 70 will be here before you know it. Amen? And you just can't slow that train down. It's moving on, and it will be here quicker than what you think. So what we laid out is simply that in a 5-year plan, so I'm really speaking to the heart of the church, to the faithful membership of the church, to you that regularly visit First Baptist Church, and the core of us as believers. And I want you to think of it this way today, as I want to throw these things out. And you'll see a reinforcement of these ideas in the bulletins going forward, or maybe on the PowerPoint, or things that will just be reminders for all of us. But in our five-year plan going forward from here, I think the number one goal that we need to focus on is what our mission statement is. And I want to clarify for you and share with you again what our mission statement is. Our mission statement is laid out in our Constitution and bylaws of the church. And I think it's step number one in our five-year plan that in all the history of the church since 1957, we've never deviated from our mission plan. It is the most, a mission statement is the most important thing that we have. And here it is, very simply, and I'm going to share the message with you today, but the number one objective in the five-year plan is our objective is to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to edify the Christians, and to bring salvation to the lost. That is number one goal, ambition, desire in the church, in the direction, and going forward. If we lose sight of that, if we lose focus of that, then we've missed the whole purpose for why we gather together, why we assemble together, why we have worship services, why we have ministries and that. So the number one goal in the five-year plan moving forward is our objective is to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that means both here at home and around the world, in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And then to edify the believer, to edify the Christians, and then to bring salvation to the lost. Let me share thought number two with you on this five-year plan. It was our goal. I know when the church asked me to take over as the senior pastor, one of the things that the deacons and the pulpit committee and I and the deacons that were there at that time that we talked about was to move the church, to get the church to a debt-free status as quickly as we possibly could. So by that meaning, one of the steps that we took on early on at that time, we paid off all, the congregation responded, paid off all short-term debt, which was like $110,000, got rid of all that within the first 2-3 months, and that was gone. And then we took any of the church credit cards and cut them up and got rid of those. That was another thing we put in place. We only have two church debit cards. The bookkeeper has one, and I have one. We're very, very kind of using restrictions or guidelines on what we do. There are things you have to purchase, but we try to make sure we pay for it as we go. So the objective is to move the church towards a debt-free status. By the way, Bethel Youth Camp is totally debt-free. On our balance sheet, it is valued at $960,000, and the camp is totally debt-free at Bethel Youth Camp. Here in this facility, when we took over in February of 2015, going into that time of the year, we were changing from Fifth Third Bank to Bank of Ann Arbor on some long-term debt. We then had $2 million in long-term debt. That has now been reduced to $1,552,216.05. So in our five-year plan, step two that we want to put in motion is to continue to move. And I'll tell you what, when we hit that zero point, I think we should have a party. Because it's to God be the glory, great things He has done. It's the congregation that has done that and pulled together. So we're moving in that direction. That step two in our long-term plan is to move to a debt-free status all the way around. I think the only other thing we'd have is there's a snowplow truck that we were contracting our snow removal out. And we did go ahead, the men and I decided to go ahead and get a snowplow truck. We were able to reduce our operating costs on that snowplow truck, and we found a used one that was in pretty good shape, and we snatched that up. I think we owe about $15,000 on that. But other than that, so if anybody feel led of the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit, to write a check for $15,000, we could pay that truck off real quick. And I'm just throwing that as a joke. But if you want to take it serious, you're welcome to. So step number two in our five-year plan is to move to a debt-free status. And that will allow then, I think, to open up more ministry opportunity, both locally and in the mission work that God has given to us to do. Here's some other things that we threw in the five-year plan that we think are things that we want to consider, pray about, think about as we move through the next 5 years. One is we would be interested in getting an electronic sign at the corner of Cherry Hill and Sheldon. Right now, Paul Tacey goes out and changes that sign. It'd be nice to have it tied to a computer here in the church offices, and we could regularly change that. And by the way, do you know how much traffic goes through the corner of Cherry Hill and Sheldon every day? It's an enormous amount of traffic that goes through there, and it's a great way to advertise, promote, and carry on things there. So that's one thing we're praying about, and we will give you more details on these things going forward, and that as we continue to move forward. Then, if you will, step number four would be a greater outreach into our community. And again, that's planting the seed. That's getting the gospel. Matter of fact, this Friday night, Liberty Fest is going on this week, and they are going to be gathering together out here. And for whatever reason, our location is a great location for Liberty Fest. If you want to see the fireworks, you can bring your they're going to have hot dogs and drinks and things out back out here and set up a lawn chair. But people from the community all come to gather around here for Liberty Fest and that. But there's a greater need, I think, to reach into our community. You know, I got to look at it a little bit closer. Canton, Michigan. Do you know what the population in Canton, Michigan was when our church started? We just celebrated our 65th anniversary. It was 5,000. Now, the last statistic I read is 93,000. So let me ask you this. When you think about it, God knew what he was doing when he was opening and closing doors and moving us from the city of Wayne to the city of Canton, Michigan. And with the growth and the opportunities here, with the families moving in, the communities, the businesses, the suburbs, all the housing that's going on, this area right here is a great growth mode in Canton, Michigan. By the way, if you're not aware of it, families in our church travel in from 11 different zip codes in the area. As you look at it, it's the way people come from a lot of the surrounding areas, just not here in Canton. So in the five-year plan, step number four is a greater outreach into the community. Step number five would be things that we would want to consider, and that we just recently at the camp built a real nice, Bud built a real nice fire pit at the camp. And he also recently had a donation come in and built a real nice outdoor pavilion at the camp that's on a concrete slab, open air with picnic tables in it. And I've sat and I looked at that and I thought, you know what, it'd be great to have those in Canton. Be nice if you're having a class activity or a time of fellowship and right out the back door out here somewhere is to have a pavilion, open air pavilion that could have a fire pit and whatever there. So it would be a nice addition to the ministry that would allow Sunday school classes or different ministries to be able to gather. So we're praying about that. That'd be one thing. And we've got a lot of property here. One of the things we always talked about, it's never materialized, is a soccer field and a ball field. I realize we're right next door across the ditch is the city park of the city of Canton. So we do have access to the city property. If no one's using it or if you need it reserved, you have to reserve it. So that's something to consider going forward. And then I cannot forget the words of Doug Ersley, who attended our church for many, many years. And Doug's comment always was to me, he'd say, Pastor, he said, every time I drive down Cherry Hill, he said, I never see anything that would indicate playground equipment or things for children. And he said, I think they ought to have a good playground area out there. So in our five-year plan, that's one of the things that we want to throw out there is to pray about right out this back door, out coming out the hallways and the elementary side too, is an area out there would be an outdoor area for a playground that would be fenced in and some nice playground equipment out there. Let me give you two more. Number six would be in the area of discipleship, and that would be community within the church. To be more focused on the idea that brings activities or unity among the believers. And that's going to come back to edifying the Christians, building up the Christians that are in the church. When we come together, you know, it's amazing. When you come to church and we all come together, we all come from different backgrounds. Many of you, some have been saved early on in life. Some have been saved later in life. Some have grown at different spiritual areas in their life. And so the need is always to reach out to other brothers and sisters in Christ and to help them to grow. Help another person get to the next level in their Christian life. I think we should stay really focused on that in the next 5 years to love our neighbors That's the commandment that Jesus gave us, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so to reach out to others in this area of discipleship that brings unity and harmony among believers. And then we put number seven and the final one. You know, the number seven in the Bible is a number of perfection. But seven would be then a focus, or a renewed focus on children's ministries. And, you know, I think there's nothing better than a greater investment in the children's ministries. I thank the Lord for all of our Awana workers this year, did a great job, and the Awana ministry this year, because it moved to Sunday nights at 5, I think, and plus the leadership team is there. Our Awana team this year, if I'm not mistaken, at least doubled or maybe tripled from where it was at last year. So that was a good move. There's always more things we can do in the children's ministries, and then make sure we're engaged with our young people. That's the next generation, those there, and to invest in children and young people is, I think, where it needs to be, and to stay focused. I thank the Lord every day for our golden agers, but I also thank the Lord realizing that the future investment is in our youth, and to realize the importance. And I've shared with others, you know, in the old days at Calvary, one of the jobs that I had at the old church was a bus ministry. So I had 5 buses over there, and I had a team of drivers for every bus, and bus captains on every bus. And can you imagine, at the old church, when we pull up, we had 5 buses that pulled up to the front door and would unload every Sunday about 250 to 300 children that we picked up from the city of Wayne, Westland, Romulus, Inkster, and Garden City. And I'll tell you what, nothing will thrill your heart more or give you a heart attack more than to see 300 kids come through the door at one time. And but what a blessing, and to be able to impact boys and girls for Christ. So that's things we'll lay out on a 5-year plan, and we'll keep that in front of the congregation that we can focus on those things going forward. But when you think about our mission statement, a mission statement is a statement of purpose. What is our purpose? You've got to ask yourself, why do we exist? And so the mission statement should guide, it literally should guide our actions in the church. It should spell out really what our overall goals and ambitions are and desires are. It provides a pathway. It gives us a guide in our decision-making that as we move forward. It provides a framework or a context within the church's overall strategies as we move forward for the cause of Christ. So you got to ask yourself 3 questions. Who's our target? Who are we trying to reach? What services do we provide? What makes our church unique so that people would choose to come to First Baptist Church of Canton, Michigan? You know, people nowadays, they have a lot of choices in the world, and that same thing in church. People have a lot of choices to make. And so we want to make sure that we're, number one, scripturally grounded, doing what God's called us to do, staying true to our mission statement and objectives and what He's set us to do as a congregation, and stay focused on what the plan is going forward. And so we realize, you know, I often think about this, you know, anybody ever grow up watching Mission Impossible? That's it? Oh my goodness, Mission Impossible. I can't help but running this through my mind. Good morning, Mr. Briggs, Mr. Phelps. And then he explains the mission. Remember that? And your mission, should you decide to accept it, and as always, should you or any of your force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of our actions. Then smoke would rise from the tape, and the instructions would self-destruct, and the tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck. Now, this is not Mission Impossible. With God, anything and everything is possible. But we have a mission. What we have to decide as a congregation is whether you'll accept the mission that God has given to you and I, and whether you'll engage and do what it is that God has called you to do, all of us to do. And so one of these days, you and I will stand before our Heavenly Father. We will give an answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what we have done in this lifetime with that which He has entrusted us in the area of stewardship. What have you done with your time? What have you done with your talents and your energies? What have you done with your tithes and your offerings? What have you done with that God has bestowed upon you? And really, if you really think about it, we don't own anything. We don't, you know, God has, in stewardship, lent all that to us. So what do we do? It becomes very important in what we do with that. And so when you think about it, our mission statement objectives is to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you look here, we know in Acts 1, Bronson was in the book of Acts last week, and it talked about the apostolic commission that was given there. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So the apostles' mission of spreading the gospel was the major reason why the Holy Spirit empowered them. And that event dramatically altered world history, and the gospel message eventually reached all parts of the earth at that time. So the gospel, man is without excuse in Romans 1, and the gospel has already reached around the world, and but now we know with the population growth and the expansion of humanity, there's a greater need now than there ever has been before to get the gospel to the unreached areas of the world so they can hear and understand and have the opportunity to accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the apostles had already experienced the Holy Spirit saving and guiding and teaching, and that miracle working power, and soon they would receive his indwelling presence and a new dimension of that power to be able to witness. So in our text here in Matthew chapter 28, and by the way, you can find, this is known as what we know in the Bible as the Great Commission, and it's simply here in the book of Matthew is in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is what Matthew records as the Great Commission. You can see the same commission given in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15 to verse 18. You can see it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and you can see it in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 21 to 23. So the Great Commission, written by all four Gospel writers, it's not a choice, it's a command. And it's a command by looking at it here in Scripture. He commands us, number one, to go. Number two, to teach in verse 19. Number three, to baptize those that have been saved and come to Christ. And then teaching them, a command in verse 20, all things that I have commanded you. So we find here the Great Commission. The Great Commission is found in all these Gospels. So the importance of it, notice the authority that is given in this text here. We have absolute authority. God is given by absolute sovereign authority, has lordship over all, and here the authority is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. And so this is clear proof of his deity. We find here that this time, the time of Christ's humiliation was over. It is now time for God to exalt Christ above all. His humanity, he's come now. The incarnation is done. Calvary is done. He's been faithful to the cross. He's died on the cross of Calvary for our sin debt. And now the commission, before he goes back to the right hand of the Father, he commissions the church. He says, this is not something you, if you want to do it, this is a command I give you to do it. It's a commission that we are given. In verse 19, therefore, so the disciples, it says here, were sent to make disciples above all nations, followers of Christ. And so the sweeping scope of their commission is to consummate with his unlimited authority, and all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A strong affirmation here of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we don't do this alone. If anything good is going to get done, God's going to do it. If anybody gets saved, it's God that's going to do it. You and I just need to be seed planters and continue to propagate the gospel both here at home and around the world. Give the gospel to whoever we can, and to reach out to whoever comes through our doors, and to be able to share that, and God will do the rest. We are not in the soul saving, but we're in the seed planting business, to take the word of God, just to continue to plant the seed. It is God that waters and brings about the fruition of salvation. And all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, we know that this kind of evangelism called for a commission, and it does not end with the conversion of an unbeliever. Notice he said here, and I will be with you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so that here, Emmanuel, God with us. So we're not going to do this alone. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it on our own human weaknesses or strengths or whatever. We need to do it in the power of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And to God be the glory, great things He hath done. We need to continue to move forward for the cause of Christ. I am with you. He is with you and I. And He goes with us. And God is with us, remains with us even until the end of the age, until He returns to then to judge the world and establish what we know as His earthly kingdom, the millennium. So the order of events, very simple. Our time is short. We're running out of time. The rapture is the next thing that's going to take place on God's calendar. So whatever you're going to do, you must do quickly. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at how fast time goes by. And you can't slow this thing down. So we got to do whatever we're going to do and do it quickly, and because the Lord is coming back. Mark's gospel explains the same message. We're to preach the gospel to every creature, and then the believers will be saved. To not believe, the Bible simply says, is to be damned. Eternity either in heaven or in hell. Luke's gospel explains the same thing, that Christ suffered. Luke's gospel explains it, that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sin is our message and is to be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, our Jerusalem, which is Canton, Michigan, and Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Do you know there's new churches being started? There's churches folding up and closing their doors. There's also new churches open. You know there's a new church in Dearborn, Dearborn Baptist Church, that launched this last year. And they're already running, I think, 40, 50, 60 people there, called Dearborn Baptist Church. And so there's churches. God is still calling men to preach the gospel and establish local New Testament ecclesias, both right here at home and around the world. And God is continuing to work through missions. And so we find John's gospel explains it the same way. As God has sent Jesus into the world, Jesus sends us out to be able to preach that word and the apostolic commission and the great commission for all of humanity. As I said before, the greater the evil, the darker the world, the more difficult it becomes, the greater the light and the gospel light can shine forth. And you and I need to continue to just uplift the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you go. Let's think about the second thing in our mission statement, and that simply is to edify the Christian. I love this one. This is a good one. That in our mission statement, our leaders early on, back in 1957, saw that it was important to put in our mission statement to edify the believer, to build up the believer, to edify the Christian. To edify, here's what it means. It means to instruct in such a way as to improve. That's what edification means. It means to build up in such a way to improve. Year by year, in a five-year plan, we should try to improve whatever it is that we're doing. Awana had a good year, but can improve. Faith Bible Institute had a great year, but can improve and launch on into next year. You go right down the ministries, the Ladies Bible Study, AM Connection, Bread Breakers, whatever the ministry is along the way, the youth department with the young people, and count your blessings, but improve on what we're doing. So to edify means to instruct in such a way to improve, to get better at what we do. And the pursuit of excellence, to enlighten, to uplift morally, to uplift spiritually, and to build up and to establish in the faith. You know, this is one place that you should be able to come and you feel encouraged and you feel edified, you feel built up, you felt like that, you know, that it was good to be in the house of the Lord and to be with people that say, hey, it's good to see you today. Hey, try to get some encouragement along the way. And it's a place to edify and to build up. Romans says this, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So in our five-year plan, we need to look at ways to edify each other. Edify the believer in Christ. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. We find in 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. We need to edify the believers within the church. 2 Corinthians 12:19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Paul said, for the edification, for the building up of the believers. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, you never know when somebody walks through the door on any given Sunday what they've gone through that week. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've been through. You have no idea what maybe the struggle is, and it's real. And they just need you to be able to be an encouragement and edification and building up and to help them get through and have another great day of worship and then go on to be able to tackle another week. And we never know what another brother or sister has been through on that given week. So the church should be all about edification. And then that next part of our mission statement is to bring salvation to the lost. There's been many vehicles used to do exactly that. And really it should be every ministry in the church should be about getting the gospel to the next lost person. That's what Awana should be about. It's what the youth department should be about. That's what AM Connection, any minister, is what FBI should be about, is getting the gospel to the next lost person. We must be effective as possible in that area as God gives us the opportunity. You know, during our anniversary celebration, it was time to reflect that that they had a radio broadcast back in the early 70s. Do you know it was through that radio broadcast of getting the gospel out and planting the seed that God put two pieces of the puzzle together and gave us Bethel Youth Camp. So we were just planting the seed when all that happened. When you think about back at the other place, we had a daycare ministry. And the daycare ministry, I remember that very well because it was a revolving door of children. It was a revolving door to bring children into the church's ministry and many young couples that was all that. Sandy Hilton, I don't know if she's in here today, but I know some of you that remember here used to work in our daycare ministry years ago. It's a great, it was a great ministry all those years to impact and to plant the seed of the gospel. I've already talked about the bus ministry and what a blessing that is. And so we have today, I think today, we have one of the greatest tools ever invented. I remember sitting in Mount Pleasant years ago when the internet was being invented or starting to come out. And I remember sitting there with some business leaders at that time, and they were talking about the internet. And what we were talking about is how to integrate the internet into the business models that we had and how we were going to utilize that. And I said, and I was listening to that early on, I began to think about that, and I thought, you know what, it's going to go down in history that the internet is going to be a real game changer. It's going to change how we live, what we do, how we receive and give information, and it has impacted our world. And it, just like the railroads have been invented, the automobile was invented, you know, you go around different inventions, the internet, when it came into play, will impact. And what a great tool that it can impact the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so many more tools now available to us. And, you know, social medias can be used for good. They can also be used for bad, like anything, anything in life. Some things can be used for good, some things can be used for bad. So when you think about it, in our five-year plan, we look at here what our commission is and what our objectives are. And our objectives are simply just exactly that, is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to edify the believer and then to bring salvation to the lost. So again, my friend, if you're here today and you're not yet saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, no greater joy than to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're looking for a church home or a church family, I'd encourage you to join First Baptist and decide, you know what, and say, I'm going to get engaged. I'm going to get involved somewhere doing something for the cause of Christ to propagate the gospel, to edify the believer, and to bring salvation to the lost. If you're here today and you're lost, if you're on the live stream today and you're lost, you can be saved today. You can open your heart and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All you got to do is believe in your heart, repent of your sin, and trust Him for eternal life. Believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ And so my question today is, are you saved? Do you know him? And let me ask you this. What's your five-year plan? What are you going to do the next 5 years? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. God, this church loves you. We thank you for the blessings, God, that you bring along the way. God, we realize the awesome responsibility we have and a mission statement to propagate the gospel, both here at home and around the world. So God, if there's anybody here that's not saved today, I pray they'd open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, if there's somebody here that needs to come and unite with the church and make this just church home and engage in the ministry, God, to be a part of all this, God, we pray that they would do so and find themselves in a position of action, taking steps to be engaged and to realize we need to be busy about the Master's work until he comes to take us home with him. So Holy Spirit, I call upon you today that you would just convict of sin, draw our hearts toward you. God, just today may we just be an encouragement and a help and to edify the believers that are here today in Jesus Christ, that they are loved, that they can do more for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that time is of an essence, and what we do, we must do it and do it quickly. Because if not, God will look back and another 5 years will have taken place and time marches on. And one of these days, time will be no more. And only what we've done for Christ is what will count. So God, help us to make it count today in Jesus' name. Let's stand together if you will. Today we open the altars. If you want to come to pray, we invite you to come. If we can pray with you about salvation today, we'd love to be able to help you with that, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you want to join the church, we'd love to talk with you about church membership. You come as Brother Ron leads us today.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing
today, say amen. Amen. Be seated just for a moment if you would. And the greatest thing in all the world is to love him and to serve him. Let me just share with you a few things not by way of announcement. First of all, the last weekend was our anniversary weekend. There's so many people to thank, and I'll try this. I sure don't want to leave anybody out, but the food preparation this year, Albert and Teresa, stand up back here, will you? I know you guys don't want to do this, but give them a hand, would you? Amen. Praise the Lord. It was outstanding. I appreciate, love you guys, and appreciate so much your hard work and making last weekend a success with all the food. And, I think we had set up for 138, and then I know time I got over there, Bob Wilcox had set up a couple more tables, and then I think set up another third table. I don't know what it was, but I know it was probably 150, 160, and that's okay. Nobody starved. Amen. How many? 152 is what you set up for, and then we set tables on top of that. So, but anyway, thanks. Thank you, Bob. And thank you for all the food and all the work in that. Pam Pierce, where are you at? Stand up, Pam. This lady made the sheet cake over there. Give her a hand. Yeah. Amen. That was great. I hope you went by and got a piece of cake or saw the pictures on it. It was outstanding. It was great. And saw pictures of it. I saw the real cake. And you did a great job. And I don't know how you kept Mark out of it until you know. But what a blessing that was. And for all of you that brought pies and desserts and that along the way, what a blessing that was. So they did have maybe we should have one of those too. But it was a pie-making contest, and they had judges. And so I don't know if I should give the names of the judges for threatening. I don't want their life to be threatened or anything and that. But they did have judges. That judged them, and I'm sure their objective was to be open-minded and partial, you know, and not showing partiality or whatever. But there's some awards that I need to give out. So if they're not here, we'll make sure the person gets them. I got to find my note, make sure I get. Well, they're in the bulletin there, so you already know who they are. Is Caroline Easterwood in here? There she is. And Frank, why don't you help me out here, if you would? Come on down and get this gift card and give it to Caroline Easterwood. She had third place. And that, so we'll let Frank do the running here for us. And there she is. She's on the back row. Wave your hand or somebody else will stick their hand up to get the gift card. And then, give her a hand. Oh, by the way, what did you make? Coconut cream. All right. No such thing as a bad pie, right? And then second place, where's Karen Albrecht at? She is in the nursery. Does anybody know what pie she made? Apple pie. Here you go, Frank. And you find her. She's back in the nursery back there. And tell her we clapped for her, and the pie was delicious. Yeah, give her a hand. So, yeah. Amen. And then the winner was Pastor Adam Wade. Come on in, brother. And, yeah. You didn't know an associate pastor here was a good pie maker. Now, if any of you want to have him over for dinner, you can invite him early. He'll cook. He'll make pies, cakes, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thanks. That's to the Grand Traverse Pie place. So, Haley, make sure he shares it with you. All right. But thank you, Pastor Adam, for doing all that and that. So thank you to the cleanup crew, all the people that cleaned up for that and had a part in everything. Brother Ron, wherever he's at, and what a blessing, Brother Ron Newsom, and all the people and the music. Give them a hand, would you, last Sunday? And Brother Ron Newsom, and Bronson, Debbie, all the praise team, everything. Who am I leaving out? I don't want to leave anybody out. Yes, the decorations. By the way, on the decorations, Sherry Monroe. I think she went down to Houston to visit some relatives and Sherry Monroe and whoever helped her had the table decoration in the center. So Sherry's not here, but give her a hand anyway, will you? So when you see Sherry, you can let her know what a blessing that lady is and what a real blessing out of the Monroe family. So who else? Oh, yeah, come on up, guys. You got an announcement you want to make. And so I if I left anybody out, Tammy and Rosalind, I've mentioned it before. Tammy, stand up. Rosalind's not here. This lady over here, give her a hand. She, man, I'm telling you what, just thank you, thank you, thank you for all the work, hard work. Matter of fact, Tuesday they're going to be putting everything away that's in the foyer, and this lady had dug deep into the archives of the church to find a lot of this stuff. There's, like I said, I learned stuff along the way, and it's been great. And we'll thank Rosalind. Rosalind's on a Cousin's Day weekend trip coming back from Pennsylvania, so we'll let her know that. But thank you, Tammy and Rosalind, for all your hard work. Thank you to all the staff, the deacons, for everybody that made it a fun weekend. So, guys, you got an announcement?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me? All right. So this coming Friday, the Freedom Fest festival is back on again this year, and they're having the fireworks. So as you know, in years past, there has been people that have just kind of parked in our parking lots and came in and sat in our lawn and just watched the fireworks from here, because that way they don't have to deal with the parking down by the fireworks. So a couple years ago, we opened that up to the community. We set up a whole bunch of canopies out there. We had hot dogs available and chips and drinks and things like that. We even had glow sticks for the kids and everything else that we set up. And we had, how many people showed up? About 250 people showed up for that event, just our own folks and then also people from around the neighborhoods. So we're going to do that again this Friday. There's going to be food. There's going to be games. We'll be able to watch the fireworks. We're going to have a grill out there. We're going to have hot dogs and pop and drinks and chips. And we're going to basically, as people show up in our parking lot like they always do, we're going to invite them over, have some free food. We're going to have a volleyball set up. We're going to have cornhole and ladder golf and whatever else we can set up out there so that people can just kind of come enjoy fellowship with us. And then we'll also have tracts that we'll hand out, and we'll invite them to church and things like that too. So what we're going to end up doing is we're going to try to set that up, get it all ready by about 6 o'clock p.m. The fireworks will start when it gets dark, which is probably about 8:39 or so. But we'll have time for everybody to kind of have fun while we're out there. If you have a canopy that you'd like to contribute, we'd love to have that. If you want to bring it between now and Friday, you can just leave it in the chapel. And just make sure you have your name on it, and we'll set it up for you. Unless you come yourself and you want to set it up, bring chairs. If you have your own food needs, bring those too. I guess that's it. Oh, yeah, just if you have lawn chairs, bring them, because we won't be providing chairs or anything. So just bring your own lawn chairs to set up underneath the canopies and stuff. The bigger we make this look, the more people get attracted to it, like moths to a flame. They'll drive down the road and go, ooh, what's this? We're going to have signage out front this week set up so that people know that we're doing this, and we're inviting them to come watch the fireworks from our church. So that's it. All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. Tonight evening service is 6 o'clock. Awana is officially done, correct, Barb? Awana's done for the year, but service tonight is 6 o'clock. We have a missionary to Italy tonight, Stenson Plank, missionary to Italy tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's stand together. Good to see you in church, and let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for 65 years of history for all the believers and all the people that have been saved down through the years. God, we thank you for that. But God, we look to the future, and we realize our future is bright, and many opportunities lie ahead of us. And God, we look forward to serving you, and we thank you for your hand and your direction. And God, we totally by faith lean upon you, your direction for every ministry, for everything that we do. May it be for the edification, building up of the believer, to build up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring honor and glory to him. And God, we'll be sure to give you the praise for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Good to see you.